An insect's life cycle can be defined by the sequence of developmental events that lead from egg to adult back to egg, and this involves the transfer of genes from generation T to T plus 1. And natural selection can act on insect species to promote life cycle differentiation, and we see a diversity of life cycle types within the hexapods. One such group that shows variation in life cycle diversity is the family Cynipidae. These organisms are uni- or bivoltine. They're typically host and tissue specific, and they can produce sexually, they can produce asexually or parthenogenically, or they can alternate between an asexual and a sexual generation to complete one life cycle in this phenomenon that is known as heterogony. So today's talk will focus on one species of heterogonic cynipid, and I'm going to explore the relationships that exist between body size and fecundity between the sexual and asexual generation to make some inferences about the forces that may govern life cycle evolution and heterogonic insects in general. So Belugnut nematriti is host-specific to live oak or Quercus fusiformis, and it alternates between an asexual generation that develops within single-chambered leaf galls and a sexual generation that develops within multi-chambered root galls. And it's important to note that individuals of both generations are pro-ovogenic, meaning they're born with a full complement of eggs. So more specifically within this study, I'm going to assess and compare the correlates of gall size, body size, and fecundity within and between the sexual and asexual generations, and again, make some inferences about the evolution of heterogonic life cycles in insect species. So objective one is looking at the asexual generation. And a frequency distribution of both body size and gall size within the asexual generation reveals that there's quite a bit of variation. And here we were able to index body size by measuring the length of the right hind tibia. And so we want to see if gall size and body size are correlated. And given that galls are extended phenotypes of their host plants, it's not surprising that gall size and body size are correlated, and we fit a regression to this correlation because we're interested in predicting body size from gall size. So next we want to ask if body size is related to potential fecundity. And we were able to address this by dissecting and counting the eggs within 33 females that were sampled non-randomly across the distribution of body sizes. And as is the case in many insects, body size and fecundity are highly related, and meaning we're able to predict the number of eggs from body size. And so next we want to ask, can we predict potential fecundity from gall size? And as you see here, gall size and potential fecundity are highly related, and this has some implications in field studies because it allows us to predict gall form or fitness as a function of host plant quality. So next I'm going to assess these characteristics in the sexual generation. It's important to note the difference between the asexual and the sexual generation. Sexual generation gall occupants develop within multi-chamber galls, so gall occupants are subjected to varying environments during development. So again, we see that both body size and gall size show quite a bit of variation, and we indexed gall size in the sexual generation as number of chambers, and you can see the distribution is skewed to the left. So again, we want to ask if these two things are correlated. And here we made some predictions. If intraspecific competition between gall occupants for resources is stronger as gall size increases, you might expect a negative slope. However, if facilitation was taking place and galls were acting as sinks for nutrients, you might predict a positive slope. However, unlike the asexual generation, we found that there is no correlation between gall size and body size. Next, we want to ask in the asexual generation, is body size and potential fecundity related? And like the asexual generation, it is. So given these frequency distributions, we want to ask, can we predict potential fecundity from gall size? And unlike the asexual generation, we find that there is no correlation between gall size and potential fecundity. It's not really surprising here, given that there was no relationship between gall size and body size within the sexual generation. So next, we want to compare the sexual and asexual generation. And looking at a distribution of body sizes, while you see that there is some overlap, on average, the sexual generation is larger. So given that we can predict potential fecundity from body size, we modeled an egg load distribution for both generations. And the point here is that on average, the sexual generation produces 4 times the amount of eggs when compared to the asexual generation. So given that body size distributions and egg load distributions vary, we want to ask the question, do the body size fecundity relationships scale equally between the generations? And a heterogeneity of slopes analysis reveals that no, they do not. So the sexual generation, indicated by these yellow dots here, the sexual generation on average produces more eggs for an equivalent individual than does the asexual generation, implying that that selection has molded the body size fecundity relationships differently between the generations. So this could reflect, this increase in fecundity could reflect a trade-off of egg size, so we were interested in estimating egg volume, but before we could do that, we wanted to compare egg shape between the generations. So we measured the length and width of 5 eggs per individual for 30 individuals that were sampled across the range of body sizes for both generations. And we plotted egg length versus egg width, and length minus width, if length minus width equals 0, that means a point would follow on this diagonal here. And what we can see from these clouds of points and these photographs is the egg shape seems to differ between the generations, so volume should be modeled appropriately. And in fact, we did just that. We modeled sexual volume as a cylinder and asexual volume as a sphere. And what we find is that although egg shape differs between the generations, through a heterogeneity of slopes analysis, body size and egg volume scale equally between the generations. Because we're able to estimate egg volume and we can predict potential fecundity from body size, we modeled the average reproductive effort for a distribution of body sizes, and the point here is that on average, the sexual generation has 6 times the reproductive output as the asexual generation. So to summarize real quick, the body size and fecundity differ between the generations, with being larger in the sexual generation, and although egg shape differs between the generations, if you model their volumes appropriately, body size and egg volume scale equally between the generations. And within the asexual generation, we can use gall size to predict fecundity. And again, I just want to make the point here that that has some implications in field studies when predicting gall form or fitness based on as a function of host plant quality. And then again, the reproductive effort for the sexuals is far much larger than it is for the asexuals. Now, there's been some debate about the evolution of heterogonous insects. And what I want to do is use the information of the data that we gathered on the body size fecundity relationships and the differences between the generations to make some predictions about the direction of sexual direction of sex evolution in this system. So we predict that sexuality evolved from asexuality, and in this case we predict that the sexuals would be more fecund to pay the cost of sexual reproduction. And I'm going to show some examples here about how selection could mold an increase in fecundity in the sexual generation. So this is the same graph I had up earlier. And for the sexual generation to become more fecund, they could simply just have more allocation of resources to reproduction. So in this scenario, they probably produce more and smaller eggs without increasing their body size. However, in scenario 2, the sexual generation, to offset the 2x cost of reproduction, just simply increases its body size. So basically, the sexual generation are just larger versions of the asexual generation. However, in scenario 3, which is what our data showed, it seems that both an allocation of more resources to reproduction and an increase in body size might be what's at play here. However, if you remember, I showed that this prediction says that the 2x cost of sex would be met by a 2x increase in fecundity, but if you remember, our data showed that the sexual generation is 4 times as fecund. Well, why? Well, sexual offspring develop within leaf galls, and leaf gall formers are subjected to sometimes greater than 99% mortality from natural enemies. So not only is there a 2x increase in fecundity to offset the 2x cost of sexual reproduction, but there is yet again another 2x increase in fecundity to offset the cost of high natural enemy related mortality within the leaf galling generation. And I would like to acknowledge these people for gathering some of the data and preliminary data work and sources for funding. Thank you.
Next speaker does cancel, so we'll move on to the What's the mortality at the root stage?
It varies, but it's about 40%.
Okay, so
yeah, much lower.
Right.
Yeah.
Times lower.
All right, thank you.